Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
I'm Barry Ritholtz, and I'm excited to tell you about my new podcast, At The Money. Each week, I'm going to spend about 10 minutes or so diving deep into a specific topic that affects you and your money, acquiring it, spending it, and most of all, investing it. We'll talk about things like portfolio construction, why fees matter, how to build a set of bond holdings, why it matters so much to manage your own behavior as an investor. Strap in for At The Money, starting right now.
We are committed to lowering fees to an ETF.
You're competing against people that have 2 basis points fees.
The margins on ETFs tend to be lower than mutual funds or other types of products.
Are fund fees going to zero? The trend for ETF prices have been lower fees. Now, after decades of falling prices, those fees are approaching zero. Let's bring in an expert to help us unpack this. Eric Balchunas is senior ETF analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, has been writing about funds and ETFs for years. Eric, what's going on here? Are fees going to zero?
Well, they have been for a while. There's already a couple zero-fee ETFs out there. They are from companies that aren't as popular as a Schwab or a State Street. So I think once you get below 5 basis points, you get to this realm of like super dirt cheap, where people don't really care. Are you 3 or 4? Are you 2 or 3? You know, it's all almost free, basically.
And for people who don't talk in basis points, 1% is 100 basis points. So we're talking about 3 basis points is 3% of 1%.
Yeah, so if you put $10,000 into the 3 basis point ETF, it would be $3 a year.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's a beautiful thing.
That
is free.
Yeah, it is. I call it the great cost migration. I call it the fee wars. This is why I call the ETF industry the terror dome, because it is brutal if you're an issuer. Everybody's cutting fees all the time. But the thing is, it works. Cutting fees almost is like batting 1,000. And if you do that, the flows will come.
So let's put a little history in place. Back in 2016, you wrote a column titled The Vanguard Effect. And the takeaway was the fee pressure the Vanguard Group was putting on Wall Street was saving investors $1 trillion. Explain.
Yeah, so if you say all the money that went to Vanguard, if Vanguard didn't exist, right, a lot of that money is going to be in mutual funds, which have an asset-weighted average fee of about 65 basis points. On an average fee, they're over 1%, but I like to asset-weight it to be fair. That just basically says where are most of the assets. So 66. So if that money were in an average Vanguard fund, that charges Vanguard's asset-weighted average is 9 basis points. So that's a huge saving. So that money moving over there, if it weren't in Vanguard, we'd be paying 66 instead of 9. Then Vanguard only has half of the passive assets. The other half are people who copied them.
So BlackRock, yeah, State Street,
Schwab, even JP Morgan and Goldman now have Vanguard-esque. And Fidelity, that was the ultimate sort of surrender because Fidelity has been the active manager. But Fidelity has cheaper index funds than Vanguard now, and they advertise it. So it's amazing. So half of the other half, I kind of credit to Bogle or Vanguard. Mm-hmm. So if you add all that up, you're looking at $1 trillion total. But that number grows by about $150 billion a year. And that number grows every year. So in the course of the next decade or two, we're going to look at $4 or $5 trillion in savings just from what Bogle and Vanguard did.
That's unbelievable. And let's flesh this out. When Vanguard launched in 1974, mutual fund fees were what? 2%, 1.86, some crazy number like that. Imagine that was it. There was hardly any competition. The fees were what they were. This has really been half a century of fee pressure.
Yeah, so when I talk about how investors respond to lower fees, it happened with Vanguard too. Vanguard's first index fund was priced at 66 basis points, right around what mutual funds were, or the cheaper side. And over time, no one cared at first because that was still kind of pricey. But over time, they kept cutting the fee because of the way their structure is. So when they got into like the 2000s, they're now at like 14, 12 basis points.
Really cheap.
Then they hit 2008, 2010, they go under 10. Once you get under 10, you're in like irresistible area. People go gaga for something that's got the single digit basis point fee. And why not? There's been major studies that show if you pay like a couple basis points over 30, 40 years, you get so much more of the compounding returns versus the asset manager.
So why is this important? Why do a few basis points here or there matter? That can't possibly add up over decades, can it?
It does. So when Bogle was trying to sell the index fund, everybody thought, oh, it's average. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be worked on by an average doctor. It was hard to sell average to the American public. We want winners. One chart he used that was very compelling, and I tell anybody, look, go look this up. It's a chart of the growth of $10,000 over 50 years. One of it makes 8% a year, and the other makes 6% a year. The 2% would be the fees you pay the active fund plus the turnover and trading costs. The 8% would be paying no fees. The no fees, you get something like $360,000. The 6% compounding only gives you like $170,000.
Almost so double.
Basically double. And so when you put it in dollars and cents like that over time, it really matters. And to put that another way, that's 8%, that took 60% of your total returns over those 50 years. So with the no fee, you get basically 98%, something like that, of the total returns. Because remember, we're all here for one reason, compounding returns.
Right.
The magic of compounding. And as those returns compound, the lower the fee is, the more that beautiful magic ends up in your pocket.
And if you're talking about larger investment dollars, Vanguard put out a research piece some time ago that if you put up $1 million and let it compound over 30 years, by the time you're at the end of those 30 years, that fee differential is about 30%. So if you start out with only 100, it's double. But, you know, just to talk in terms of percentage, it's not insubstantial after two or three decades.
Yeah, absolutely. So the difference between paying like 80 basis points versus like 8 is major. Now, when we get to 8 to 7, it's a little less consequential. So that's why I say, do we need a zero fee ETF or fund? Not really. I think once you get below 5, you're good. I don't think people, in fact, there's almost a case made that people sometimes repel from zero. They feel like it's a gimmick, perhaps.
Right.
And so what we found is that if you look at advisor surveys, the two most important criteria for them in picking an ETF, number one is fee, number two is brand. That's why we tend to see the money going to the big brands. Let's say Vanguard, BlackRock, definitely, but also State Street, Invesco, Schwab. These brands plus a low fee, irresistible. But if you take a brand that's not known for this, there was a company called Focus Shares back in the day. They tried to undercut. Nobody really cared because nobody knew that brand and it felt gimmicky. So that's why I think the brand is also important here. It's not just the low fee. It's the low fee plus the brand. That is almost like an irresistible value proposition for most people.
Let me throw a little bit of a curveball at you. We're talking about mutual funds and ETFs. But the reality is that's $20, $25 trillion. There's still another $50 trillion in equity and another, I don't know, $75 trillion in bonds behind that. How significant are ETFs and mutual funds to how people manage their assets?
I think they're huge because in the end, consumers typically like convenience. If you make something more convenient, you're probably going to find some customers. And so to me, a mutual fund really pushed the envelope to make convenient. You give me your money and I'll take care of buying all the stocks. We'll get diversification going. That way we don't like have we don't pick one stock and it goes to zero. We lose all our money. We'll diversify and I'll manage it for you. The problem is the mutual fund structure isn't nearly as efficient, or there's a multitude of reasons. The ETF structure, in my opinion, is a better vehicle to deliver what a mutual fund tries to deliver. Whether that's active, passive, or whatever, ETFs tend to be more efficient, tax efficient. They tend to be cheaper. You're able to get in and out them whenever you want. Mutual funds only one time a day. And they really fit nicely on brokerage platforms, which most people use. And so to me, ETFs are sort of the vehicle for the 21st century. I've often compared them to the MP3, whereas the mutual fund is kind of like a compact disc. Mm-hmm. MP3, I now can buy exactly the songs I want, or if you stream, and you can add, there's flexibility. It fits on your phone better, compact disc, harder to, you know, lug them around. So I think every industry goes through this. I would also say an Uber to the cab. That's another industry. Uber uses the internet. It's cleaner. Like there's always these disruptive events. And so ETFs are big, but I got to say, ETFs at 80 basis points wouldn't be a big deal. They're only really popular and sweeping the country because they're cheap. And you have to give Vanguard and Bogle credit. That's where, even though he didn't like ETFs, he had this monumental impact on them. So to me, whether it's an index mutual fund or an ETF, the bigger trend is the great cost migration. And you got to go back to Bogle on that. That said, when it comes to getting investments in a low fee format, I think the ETF vehicle is the one most people prefer.
Thanks, Eric. Really interesting stuff. Just a relentless pressure on prices that saved investors trillions of dollars. But more importantly, we are aware of the impact of compounding. 10, 20, 30 basis points makes a huge difference over time, especially if we're talking about decades. And so what lower fees mean is better performance over the long haul for investors. You can listen to At the Money every week. Find it in our Masters in Business feed at Bloomberg.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Each week, we'll be here to discuss the issues that matter most to you as an investor. I'm Barry Ritholtz. You've been listening to At the Money on Bloomberg Radio.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.